Labour has called on the Conservative Culture Secretary to withdraw from any further decisions over press regulation. John Whittingdale has denied any conflict of interest after admitting to a relationship with a woman who he later found out was an escort, a dominatrix. Mr. Whittingdale says he ended the relationship when he found out her true occupation in early 2014. That's before he took up his current role, which includes regulation of the press. Here's the deal. Four newspapers knew about the relationship but chose not to publish the story. So two questions today. Is this story about John Whittingdale's private life a matter of public interest? And more generally, are the private lives of politicians off limits these days? Is it nobody's business but their own? Dr. Evan Harris is from Hackdoff. Good morning to you, Evan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Roy Greenslade with us, Professor of Journalism at the City University in London. Hello, Roy.
Yeah, hi.
Morning to you. So, Evan, you guys campaign for privacy every single day of the week.
We campaign for privacy. We campaign against unjustified press intrusion, which means writing stories where there's a legitimate expectation of privacy and no public interest that trumps that. We're very clear. We go along with Article 10 of the European Court of Human Rights on freedom of expression, Article 8, right to privacy balance. So we're not a privacy organisation at all. We're for public interest journalism. So the question is, should this story be published only if there's a public interest in it? And that's the question. Now, tabloid editors don't normally need a public interest. In fact, just this week, the front page of the Daily Mail was demanding the right to publish a story about a celebrity three-in-a-bed story when a judge had ruled that there was no public interest in publishing it. Yet the Daily Mail devoted a front page to complaining that it couldn't do it. And Roy Greenslade said, on balance, he's with the Daily Mail and the Sun on Sunday. But definitely no public interest according to a judge.
I doubt
Roy is now better than the judge at deciding the facts when he hasn't got them all.
I doubt, Evan, that you will take your lead from the Daily Mail. So let's establish what you think.
Interest.
So here we have a single man, yeah. Whittingdale, having a relationship with a single woman. Where's the story?
So for a tabloid newspaper to have a public interest justification, there would have to be question marks over, for example, whether he was being hypocritical in telling Max Mosley a couple of years before in public, you're crazy, you knew this story would come out, it's your own fault for cavorting with people in that position. But if that's not enough, the senior, experienced broadsheet journalist James Kuzik, who broke this story on a website, has given evidence that the chair of that select committee was funded for an overseas trip and hotel with this woman by a multinational media company at a time when he was doing inquiries into that area on the select committee and did not declare it.
Yeah, that's a different story, isn't it?
Indeed, and I would have been satisfied if the press had run a story that he hadn't declared a trip. But they didn't even run that, even though they had that. And this is the Independent as well. And again, the Independent journalist says that's because they're tenants of the Daily Mail, and the Daily Mail wanted this as an asset.
Okay.
But the bigger question is not whether they should have run the story at the time or not. The question is whether John Whittingdale, knowing that the press had this over him, rightly or wrongly, should have told the Prime Minister on appointment that he has a potential conflict of interest, even though he says he hasn't exercised it. And what the other explanation is, other than that conflict of interest applying, for the fact that Whittingdale has reversed the government's previous position and his previous position on whether Leveson Part 2, which looks into the press and police cover-up of hacking, which was pledged to go ahead, might not go ahead, and why he's blocking a law passed by Parliament.
Roy Greenslade.
The press access to justice.
Go on, Roy.
Well, I find it very strange that Evan is in this position as a member of Hacktoff, arguing that the newspapers were wrong not to publish something that would have invaded someone's privacy. But let me tell you this. One of the papers that investigated the John Whittingdale story was the Sunday People. I've heard from an executive at the Sunday People, who I know well, but who wishes at the moment to remain anonymous.
Fancy that.
Well, Look, it just...
I've gone on the record.
It just is the case. I've asked him if he'd like to go on the record. He said, can I just be a source at this stage? But I will put his name on the record once he gives me permission. Listen, this is what he said. We investigated the Whittingdale story. During our investigations, we took advice from a prominent hacked-off supporter. He said, single man seeing single woman, who he may or may not have known at the time, by the way, he didn't know, whether she was a sex worker, is a private matter. They, hacked off, have since changed their tune. Now, don't interrupt, Evan. Let me have my chance. I didn't interrupt you. This is a straightforward matter in which a person who was not a minister, who had a relationship with a woman who he didn't know was a sex worker, and there was not an ounce of public interest because at the moment that he was told that she was a sex worker, he ended the relationship. This happened 2 years ago when he was chair of a select committee. Even though a powerful select committee, it had very little political power, and certainly had no... one can look at Whittingdale's record as chairman of that, and he was pretty sharp, especially during the hacking, hacking scandal. But don't interrupt.
Well, I'm allowed to ask a question.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was Evan interrupting. Right. No, you're fine.
All right, OK. So, how do we know? It's all about perception, isn't it?
Well, hold on, let me put the question to you.
So how does the public know that there wasn't, up until last night, a situation in which John Whittingdale was trying to stay in favour with the press, the newspaper press, so that they didn't publish a story, which he himself has said he found embarrassing? How do we know that that wasn't the case?
Well, there's a lot of speculation and involved in that question, and a hypothetical. The point is, the public didn't know anything about this story anyway because it wasn't a story. If you use the normal terms of reference, post-Leveson, admittedly, I'm with Evan on pre-Leveson misbehaviour by the press. I'm less certain that that's been a problem now. But if you look at post-Leveson, you'd have to say that the newspapers have, to an extent, not entirely, cleaned up their act. And this is an example where four newspapers, one of them very serious, and by the way, there was a fifth newspaper, because I discovered last night that The Guardian knew about this story months ago as well and decided not to publish. I knew about it weeks ago. I was part of the part of a discussion with my boss at The Guardian about whether or not I should publish, on the same grounds that Evan would want it published, namely, was there a cover-up by newspapers? Having looked at this, and looked at the fact that we had disparate newspapers, People, Sun, Mail on Sunday, Independent and Guardian, all looked at the story, all reached similar conclusions, probably having consulted their office lawyers as well, reached the same decision that they couldn't justify publication in the public interest. That seems to me to be a very good example of press behaviour.
No. What you can't do is claim, without any proper evidence, mere anecdote, that press behaviour has improved, especially in the same week that you, Roy, have argued that The Sun should be allowed to publish, despite a judge absolutely declaring
Let me reiterate what I said.
That they should be allowed to publish.
Yes, well, let me reiterate.
Just let me finish, then you can come back.
You've already said it. Let's finish his sentence.
I'm just saying that if you just look at the front page of the Mail saying, we demand the right to publish stories about the sex lives of individuals where a judge has ruled that there's no public interest justification, then that's a clear evidence from their own mouths that they don't think that what any judge in this land says or Lord Justice Leveson said matters. But the key question now is, and it's clearly public interest because the BBC ran it, and I don't care how many newspapers refused to run the story of the press cover-up, but if this was any other industry, they'd have all done it. And I don't exclude The Guardian from my scepticism about why they don't want to have Whittingdale offside. The fact is, as Stephen has asked, we don't know. Well, look, he said before November 2013... to Theresa May in Parliament, will she confirm that Leveson Part 2, looking into the police and press cover-up of hacking back in 2006 and ever since, will that take place? OK? And she said it will. OK, now he's saying we don't think it will take place. There's no doubt about that, Roy. Well, you know that that's their line.
Let's let Roy reply.
Well, first of all, Whittingdale is not making that decision alone. I would imagine that the Prime Minister and the Cabinet collectively have made that decision. I think you know that too, Evan, to be honest.
No, I don't know. I don't know why the Prime Minister is breaking his promise.
Let me go,
it could,
let
because
me
the Culture Secretary is urging him to break
just
it.
Just a minute. Let me go back
to Rebecca Brooks again.
Oh, for goodness sake, Evan, give me a chance here. Let me go back to your first point about my defence of the idea that the story could be published about the mystery person and the three in the bed. That if you read my blog, and I'm sure you have, you will note that I say I am not in the least bit interested in the sex life of this particular person and his or her mate. That's irrelevant. I am saying, however, that on balance, you'd have to say that there is a public interest defence for so publishing. And the interesting thing here is that judges don't always get it right, as you well know, and the public interest is a really difficult thing. That's one of the things we
But Roy, that's why we have courts. So it's not Lord Justice Roy Greenslade or Lord Justice Stephen Nolan or Lord Justice Evan Harris.
Well,
it's the judge with all the facts.
Listen for a second.
Rights are engaged.
Listen, the Mail have not published. They have argued that they should have a right to publish. That is fair enough, isn't it? That's free comment. What's wrong with that?
Because I'd have thought they'd have said, if they agreed with you, you were right, they'd say, post-Leveson, we accept that a judge has looked at this story. It would have helped our sales on Sunday if we could write the story about a three-in-a-bed celebrity private life. But a judge has ruled that we can't based on Article 10 of the Human Rights Act. Obviously, they don't approve of that. They don't want to change.
Well,
I'm surprised
right.
that someone like you can say, on the one hand, they have a right to publish that. When it comes to a politician with a clear potential conflict of interest, they were absolutely right not to publish.
Why, Roy Greenslade, was it in the public interest to publish Max Mosley's sexual interests? What had that got to do with it?
It wasn't. I said so at the time. I was lone. I was castigated by the Daily Mail for having done so. I stand by what I wrote at the time. What happened to Max Mosley was an utter disgrace. And Evan knows that I stood on that.
But it's the same newspapers who wrote about Max Mosley who didn't write about Whittingdale.
But there's no equivalence. There is not the slightest equivalence. In fact, you could say that isn't it good that the newspapers have cleaned up their act enough? There is no equivalence.
Let me see if I can agree with Roy on something here.
Yeah.
Roy Greenslade, John Whittingdale, the Parliament passed a law which effectively fines newspapers who don't comply with the Royal Charter system in some circumstances. And Parliament passed that, and it's up to the government routinely to bring it into effect by the Secretary of State signing an order. Leveson said, under no circumstances should any politician have direct control over press content or press regulation through sanctions. No executive power. I agreed, Hacked Off agreed, the Daily Mail agreed, everyone agreed that, the government agreed. John Whittingdale has, despite Parliament enacting this law, has said he's going to wait to see whether he signs it, depending on how the press behave. That's what he said. That cannot be acceptable. Why is he doing that? Well, the evidence suggests that the press have something on him. But even if the press didn't have something on him, it cannot be acceptable for a government to say to the press or a minister, watch your step or I will bring this in. Because that is direct political interference with press regulation, which everyone agreed was wrong.
John Whittingdale doesn't have the power alone to make that decision. He has not made that decision himself. He has made it collectively in Cabinet and with the Prime Minister's approval. So
I don't know. They haven't said, have they?
Well, you're speculating and I'm speculating.
He could commence it by signature.
Let's get down to brass tacks. Here is a situation in which John Whittingdale, more than 2 years ago, ended a relationship with a woman after being told she was a sex worker. 2 years, with more, we move on, and everyone comes up with a conspiracy theory, which I'm afraid I'm so sorry that Haktov have contributed, indeed, have promoted this conspiracy theory
based on speculation. What do you say about the independent journalist saying
there is
he was
not
told
an ounce of
that
evidence,
the Daily Mail didn't
an ounce of evidence that he's done anything wrong?
Yeah, but what do you think about what do you think James Cusick, who is a senior broadsheet journalist of great experience?
He's not a senior journalist at all. He's just another one of us. He's not a senior journalist. Stop.
So you'd accept he's a broadsheet journalist with a good reputation, or are you going to...
up James Cusick. He's not, you know, he's not that important. Come on. You're just pretending that he's
an experienced journalist, James Cusick, and his experienced colleague, Cahill Milmo, both told by the Independent, by someone at the Independent, as good a source as your unnamed Mirror executive, by the way, saying that the Independent, who are a tenant of the Daily Mail, are not going to run the story because they cannot interfere with a Daily Mail asset. Now, either they are both lying, both those experienced...
There's no suggestion.
Because the Independent's located in the Daily Mail building...
Roy Greenslade, Evan Harris, thank you very much indeed to both of you this morning. Here's the number today, 0330 80 55 55, so you can hear that being battled out on the airwaves this morning. There's another aspect to this, isn't there? A separate aspect, and that is that whatever a politician does in their private life sexually, do you care? Do you care if they're going out with a dominatrix? Do you care what their sexual interests are? In terms of politicians, do you think you have a right to know? 0330 80 55 55, the text 8171 at Stephen Nolan on Twitter.